Good afternoon, brethren. I don't know what my job will be in the kingdom of God, but I hope it will be working with young people. I don't know if you ever thought about that a lot or not, but those little innocent children, God really thinks a lot of them. And it's mind-boggling to me to see how adults can mistreat little innocent children. You know, they did not ask to be brought into this world, but they are mistreated in many ways. But it's encouraging to see that the people of God, those that have been called into the church, take special care of the young people and nurture them and raise them up properly. So I know God honors that. And when we see them perform in services, given their part of service to the audience, it really brings tears to your eyes. So I hope that they will continue, and I just say thank you for the special music, and God thanks you too. Last evening, at sunset, as you know, ended the days of unleavened bread. And this ended this for the year of 2016. This should be a new way of life for all of us, a time to go forward and to draw closer to God. And as people of God, we should never be satisfied. I want to say that again. We should never be satisfied with our spiritual growth. It should be something every day of our life that we want to do differently than we did 2 months ago, 2 years ago, whatever. And this is what I mentioned yesterday, that we should not repeat the same things that's displeasing to God continually. In other words, once God has forgiven us of these things, we should look for growth, be seeking ways that we can get closer to God. The closeness we need to build spiritual growth only comes from God. And God is there to mold and shape us as He wants us to be. God is the potter, and we are the clay. And you know, I don't know if people really think about this enough, that we can do absolutely nothing without God. If God all of a sudden decides that He will not give you the breath of life anymore, all of us would just collapse. Every breath of life that we are breathing at this moment comes from God. And it's a time, brethren, that we should look at these things and appreciate what God is doing for us. We want to cover a few verses today dealing with the potter and the clay. And to do this, we want to turn to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. And I'll be going back through that chapter occasionally as we go through the sermon. Jeremiah chapter 18. A prophet that God dearly loved. A prophet that endured a lot of trouble, people trying to take his life. But he stood up for God. So we see here that he obeys what God asks him to do, in spite of any situation that seemed negative. Jeremiah was there to obey God. And he wasn't perfect, just like we are. We aren't perfect. But see, if we allow God to mold and shape us, this is where it comes in. You know, God is the potter. We are the clay, and we should allow God to shape and mold us to do the things that pleases him. So in Jeremiah chapter 18, we will begin reading in verse 1. And the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Now, why did God want him to go down to the potter's house to hear the word? Couldn't God just tell him what he wanted to tell him there? Sure he could. But he had a reason. He had a reason for Jeremiah going down to the potter's house, because there were not only a situation where he needed to hear God's words, but also a time when he could learn lessons as to why God was sending him down there, because he had to pass on a message to the house of Judah. So he asked him to go down to the potter's house. In verse 3, then he went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. Now, the potter was in the process of making something at the wheel. So when Jeremiah walked into the premises there, he saw the potter making something at the wheel. And the vessel, verse 4, the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into a vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. So here we are at the potter's location, and he's working with this vessel that he is trying to mold and to create something that would be satisfaction to him. But you know what? He had in that ball of clay, pack of clay that he had, there was something in there that wasn't exactly right to mold this vessel, because it was marred in the potter's hand. So there was something in there that, and we'll get to that, what it was in a moment, but there was something in there that the potter discovered, that he recognized that he couldn't continue trying to mold it, because it was marred in his hand, and it wasn't going to come out as a completion and perfect as he wanted it to be. So in verse 5, it said, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." So at that time, it's beginning to bring some light into what we're talking about here, because the nation of Israel had forgotten God. After bringing them out under the hands of Pharaoh for 400 and some odd years, they went back to, as you know and have read, they went back to serving idols. And God was very displeased with this. But they were doing other things as well. And we will also see what that is. And it says in verse 7, "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disasters that I thought to bring upon it." Verse 9, "And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." So there's two things here that we need to look at. So he continues in the verse 11, says, "Therefore speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus said the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good." You see, the blessings that God gives us throughout life, brethren, is that he warns us of what he's going to do before he do it. So we absolutely have no excuse for not obeying what God says. Now, you say, well, I can't read. Maybe you can't read, but you can hear. And it's all in here, brethren. And if you can't read, then you can come and be seated in the audience and listen. So we don't have an excuse. In verse 12 of Jeremiah chapter 18, "And they said, this is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart." I wouldn't want to say that. Believe me, I would not want to say, you know, that I'm not going to do what God has asked me to do. And people do that. I'm outright talking to God what I'm saying. Here there was a prophet that brought the message to the house of Judah, the nation of Israel, and they outright refuse to obey God. In other words, they just come out and said, you know, we're going to do what we want to do. So I'm going to use this sermon title today, "Allowing the Potter to Mold and to Shape Us." Now, what were some of the things that Judah was doing, house of Israel? What were they doing? Well, we said that they were actually serving idols. But there was more. God knew about this. But there was more that dissatisfied God in their lifestyle. One of the things were that he had cautioned them, he had spoke to them about being involved with pagan women. So here the house of Judah, the nation of Israel, was marrying these ladies, and God told them from the beginning with not to do this. But there was something else in all of this that really displeased God. Let's turn to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. I'll give you time to find it because it's a book that we don't read out of very much. But it'd be chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. And we will begin reading in verse 15. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading the winepress on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading the donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods, and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates on the gates that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside of Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them, and I said to them, "Why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do it again, I will lay hands on you." They came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. You see, I'm torn apart when it comes to the Sabbath, and I see people doing things that I thought they knew better about doing certain things on the Sabbath. I love the Sabbath. It's the fourth commandment. And I go back to what Christ said to the rich ruler when he asked him what could he do, what should he do to inherit the kingdom of God. You know, and Christ took the time to explain all these things to him, but he said at the end, "If you want eternal life, keep my commandments." I don't know how we get away from doing other things when we know we shouldn't do. The commandments is there. And I just finished saying this a minute ago, that whatever God wants us to do, he warns us first. So we know this is out there. We know what God says. If we don't keep the commandments, we won't enter the kingdom of God. That's what he said. He's not going to change that, brother. It's there. It's carved in stone. Now, I assume that when Jeremiah told these people that, you know, I'm going to lay hands on you, I think he got their attention. So he shut the gates up. But what I'm saying is, the Sabbath, you know, God has a lot of things that is serious to him, but his commandments is most serious of all. Because it's by these Ten Commandments that we follow God's directions, and then, you know, he guides and directs us through these commandments to do what he wants us to do. So as the potter, working with the clay, the commandments should be our forerunner. This should be in front of us all the time. By definition, clay is nothing more than any part of the earth that forms a paste with water and hardens when heated or dried. In order for the potter to be successful in forming a perfect vessel, the ingredients must be right and it must be the right type of mixture. Now I can go out here on the side of the road and I can get a spoon and I can spoon up all kinds of dirt, but that doesn't mean that soil, that mixture that I get out there is suitable to make a vessel. Now, I don't know, some of you may have been through the place in a place called Seagrove, North Carolina. It's a potter's community. And they have people from all over the United States come there for the Potter's Festival. Because they come and they receive a lot of lessons, and they also receive many valuable hours of instruction how to make pottery. And I have seen some of the pottery that I have purchased over the years there. And some of those things, if you break them, it has a little bubble in it, okay? So that bubble meant that there was something in that clay when the potter made it that was not taken out. So it stood the test of being on the shelf. It was beautiful. It sold and all. But when it broke, there was this hole in the center. It wasn't a nice looking thing. So if you follow me here as we go through this, because it has a lot to do with what we're trying to make clear about the potter's clay. So let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 18. We notice here in this chapter that God is referring to the nation of Israel. Jordan had turned away from God, and one of the things that he had on his mind was that they had left the love that they had, and now they were returning back to the idols. So there was a lesson as well as a message that God was sending to the nation. So here in Jeremiah chapter 18, we find the words that God spoke to Jeremiah in verse 2. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So when Jeremiah arrived at the potter's house, as I said before, what did he see? He saw a potter making something at the wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So we must keep in mind that, you know, God is the potter. We are the clay. So we see that the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. The Hebrew word here for marred is to be corrupt or to be ruined. So it wasn't really, the clay was not being mixed up and processed to suit the potter. But we take this back to what God is telling the nation of Israel. You know, I can mold you, I can take care of you, and I can bring you out of this negative lifestyle, get you away from all of these pagan things that you are doing, and restore you. But they wanted to do their own thing. The Bible contains several verses in several books, several locations throughout the Scriptures that releases the messages about the potter and the clay. So just for a moment, holy places, place there in Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. We will read verse 8. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the works of your hands. So in order to make clay that is usable, the potter must have the right mixture of earth and water. If there is too much water in the clay and it is too wet, it will not harden correctly. If it is too soft, it will be too weak. So I've seen potter that just wouldn't, potter vessels that just wouldn't withstand any jars or movements, you know, chip off and break. We've seen that. And if it's too dry, it will crumble and break apart and become useless. So that there must be a perfect combination of the two ingredients in order for clay to be useful. So we like to potter's clay. God created man in His own image, and the first work of human pottery, or the first work of clay by the human pottery, Adam and Eve. So Adam sinned. We know that. God's work was marred at that time. Unfortunately, all of the offsprings of the first lump of clay inherited the same marred nature. So in Romans chapter 5, we see this in Romans chapter 5 because Adam sinned, and Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So therefore, just as though one man sinned, entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of sin. So these past days of unleavened bread that we just came out of, pictured coming out of sin, this should not be the only time of the year that we continually fight to keep sin out of our lives. But brethren, it is an ongoing thing. And always, sin is going to always remain in our surroundings. But the good news is God can remove these things from us, from our lives. As we grow spiritually, it should be less and less of a problem for our sinning. And that's what I said in the beginning. We should never, ever be satisfied with our spiritual growth. We should do something tomorrow that we did not do today to try and bring ourselves closer to God. We're like marred lumps of clay because we have all inherited that sin. And again, Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Not just part, not just a few, but he said all. So the sin in our lives are like air bubbles, sticks and stones, and other impurities in the potter's clay. And that's what I said, you know, we just can't go out here and looking at it as a spiritual view and gather up earth out on the side of the road and all of these impurities and things in it and expect it to come out as a perfect vessel. So like the sticks and the stones and other impurities in the clay, our sins needs to be removed so God can mold and shape us into a vessel that can be used for His purpose. Now you notice when we read there in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 12, we said that, we read that the potter was not, he was not satisfied with his work there that he was doing. He was satisfied with the work, but the clay was not what he needed. So God does not give up on us. You see what it says there, that the potter made another batch of, if I can use that word, of clay. Because the clay that he had, it had impurities in it. It wasn't going to be a perfect vessel when he finished it. And I may add this, brethren, we will be perfect when God gets through with us. We're not now, but in the kingdom of God, we will be perfect. So all of the impurities of our lifestyle, our human nature, those that God has called, they're going to be wiped away. So when we get into the kingdom of God, we're going to be perfect. So the potter wants, at his location there, he wanted this vessel to be perfect. So it's a lot of work that goes into the clay to make it perfect. And we're not going to get perfect here on earth, but we're going to continue to try as much as possible, brethren, to do our very best to cause God to have the information and all of the things that He needs to do to work with us to make us perfect. Not going to make it right now, but He's going to keep trying. And if we stumble and not do the things that we need to do, no matter what and how hard we try, we're going to sin. But God's going to continue working with us just as this potter did. And He's going to mold and He's going to rework us. See, we have to get reworked. And that's why we come to the Passover. In the days of unleavened bread, God is reworking us in this area because He wants us to be perfect in the end. So the sticks and the stones that I would gather out here, when I put it on the turntable of that pottery and I put my hands on both sides of that little clump of clay and that wheel begins to turn, if I have sticks and stones and everything in there, what kind of a vessel would I have? Wouldn't be good, would it? But God is going to make sure that as he nurtures us and as he works with us, that we are going to come out to be the type of vessel that he wants. And I'll show you a verse at the end of the sermon where God says this. We must keep in mind, as God works with us and remolds us, sometimes, you know, things may go wrong in our life that causes these bumps and knots to come up. But the good thing is God is going to keep trying. And another thing that happens as the potter works with the clay, he must make sure that the wheel, the turntable there with the potter's clay on it, stays balanced. So our lives, God is trying very diligently, working with us to keep us balanced. Because if you have a lump of clay on the turntable and it's not balanced, it's going to be wobbly. Just wobble all over. He can't shape it like that. So it must be, he must keep all of that in balance. And, you know, we don't want to, brethren, we don't want to do things to cause God to not keep us in balance and cause God not to complete the vessel that he's working with. We don't want to do that. Let's notice John chapter 3. Because since we were born into the world of sin, the potter must make some changes in our life. So we're all born into the world of sin. This is what John said in John chapter 3, in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we're talking to Nicodemus because he didn't understand some things there. And God, Christ was explaining it to him. It is through this rebirth, brethren, that we become a new lump of clay that the potter can mold and reshape, and we can have true fellowship with God and know the true purpose and meaning of life. There's thousands of people living out there today and millions of people out there, brethren, that do not know. They do not know, have no knowledge of the meaning of life. And I guess I can be truthful in saying that they just existing, grabbing everything that comes along to try to satisfy themselves. In order for the potter to create a perfect vessel, he will first make sure that the clay is clean. That's where we said that before. We don't want to go out here and God did not want to go out here and just grab up something and try to put it together to make something. This is what I said yesterday. We are special people. You know, God just didn't go out there and rake up a bunch of folk and say, "Come on and join the church and I'm going to work with you." No, he didn't do that. And that's why, if you can go back and look, you can see where God does the calling. He's the ones that call us because he knows what type of clay he needs to bring in for Jesus Christ to work with and mold with to make the vessel perfect. So we have to, in order that the potter, you know, has the perfect, make the perfect vessel, he has to select the clay that is clean. And where does he find that? How does he get this clean clay? Well, the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that it is through the Word of God that we are purified and made clean. It's what the scripture says. John chapter 15 and verse 3. John chapter 15 and verse 3. Says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So it's this clean clay that God has brought out. Now he's going to begin working with it. He's going to mold it. He's going to shape it. And if it's a little lump in there, he's going to break it down and he's going to start all over again. Because this is the patience. See, the patience of the potter. The potter has patience. And it's no telling how many 10, 5, 15, 20 years, 50 years that he works with all of us to get us shaped, because he wants and must have and will have a perfect vessel. So just like we need certain ingredients in our lives for our physical well-being, we also need certain ingredients in the lives of our spiritual growth. We need to read the Bible every day. I'll say that again. We need to read the Bible every day, because it is through the words of God that we are clean, that we are guided, that we are directed in the ways that he wants us to go. 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll read these verses from the Amplified Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, we begin reading verse 5 from the Amplified Bible. For they willfully overlooked and forgot this fact, that the world came into existence long ago by the word of God. And the earth also, which was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up, reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people. Verse 8, nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that which the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises. According to some people, conception of slowness, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. The love of God, you know, he wants you. He wants us to do the right things. These verses say a lot about the potter and the patience that he has working with us as we are the clay. To begin with, we were marred. And I know when God called us all, he wasn't satisfied with us, but he was willing to work because he had selected the clean clay. There he was willing to begin molding and shaping us as he went along. So let's return back now to Jeremiah chapter 18. And we will notice verse 4 again. So all of this, we've read this, but what this is saying here in verse 4, that the potter had this marred clay in his hand, And he was going to make another vessel. One that was pleasing to him. Now, God could have, as we said before, God could have said a whole lot of things to Jeremiah. But, you know, Jeremiah going to the potter's location, he was able to see, he was able to see the message that God was sending back to the house of Judah. Because God did not want to destroy those people, but at the same time, he was wanting them to make sure how dissatisfied that he was about the things they were doing. So what God is saying to us here is that he is going to rework his people. They became like marred clay, and the potter discarded, and when God finishes with them, they will be like a new vessel that is acceptable and without ruin. So the marring started in, as we said, in the Garden of Eden when Satan talked to Eve. So God uses the potter's work to define what the final work of Christ will do. We know that Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. But when Judas came back with the 30 pieces of silver after his repentance and threw it on the floor, some of the religious leaders took the 30 pieces of silver and went out and brought a potter's field. This potter's field was a place where rejected pots were marred and broken by the potter and were thrown away. This was a field that broken pots, man had given up or without hope. It would be a field to bury the broken pots. But we see another angle here. Christ, Jesus Christ, paid the price, and he can put those discarded and broken parts back together that man has given up on. See, God has not given up on us, none in this building. Oh, that our nation today could stop for a moment and see where we came from. And see where we are. And see where we are going. This nation continues to plunder deeper and deeper and deeper into the ways of sin. Brethren, our nation today has turned toward things that the potter hates. From scoffing at the laws of God governing sodomy to the laws of the nation that is being turned against the laws of God. So our nation is legalizing the very thing that God hates. That's sad. And all of our leaders, they're smiling and grinning and they're jumping in there, oh, look what I'm doing. They're not doing anything but destroying the people. And you can talk to them, but they don't listen. It's just like Judah, the house of Judah. They weren't listening. This very thing was happening to the house of Judah. And we saw that in Jeremiah chapter 11 and 12. Now, therefore, he says, speak to the men of Judah and go to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. So he's warning them what's coming to pass. Return now, giving them a chance. Everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. But they said in verse 12, as we repeat again, and they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the text of his evil heart. That's what we're doing. Here is how this verse reads from the New Living Bible translation. It says, but they replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, following our own evil desires. This message from God to the house of Judah was rejected by the people in the days of Jeremiah. And during his time, they wanted to continue their lifestyle just as the world is doing today. But you know what? Just as God said what he was going to do, that's what he did. They all went into captivity and they suffered. In Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 19. So you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me this way? Verse 20-21. Does not the potter have power over the clay for the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? So we are this clump of clay that God is molding and shaping us. Paul is not saying that some of us is worth more than others, but that the Creator has control over the created objects. So the created object, therefore, has no right to demand anything from the Creator. We're in the hands of God. Its very existence depends on Him. That's what we just finished saying shortly about the breath of life. And keeping this in perspective removes any temptation to have any pride or personal achievements. We can't do nothing. We do a lot. It's because God allows us to. But we can't do anything on our own. God withdraws his hand from us. We're dead. Honestly dead. So we see the world today where people are determined to do their own thing, use their own minds to reject God's laws and his commandments and live their own ways. The people in verse 12 of Jeremiah 18 understood their ways were so far from the ways of God that they were willing to just give up. And that's what they said they was going to do. They could not understand. It is God, the potter, who makes the changes to the clay. Now, God can change us anytime he wants us to do whatever he desires us to do. So if there's a ring around the top of that potter's vessel, and he decides that he wants two rings on that vessel, all he has to do is take his two hands and put down below the first vessel, and there you have the second vessel. He's the potter. You are the clay. He can do all of these things. So we don't have the right to tell God what he needs to do with us. And this is what the potter who makes the changes to the clay, they are trying to understand how they can change their own imagination. People try to change God. He's not happy with that. We don't need to change. God's mind is already, His plan is already made up. We can't change. We don't need to suggest to Him to change anything. But to guide us in the way that we need to go. And although God allows human beings freedom to make moral changes, He demonstrates often that He is still sovereign and in control of His universe. He does whatever He wants and whatever He wills to His creation. Mankind needs to learn that. Psalm 135, begin reading in verse 5. Psalm 135, verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and earth and in earth, in the seas and in the depth and the deep places, says verse 6. He causes vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of His treasures. So it's God who controls all of this. Try checking sometime and see where if you can find where the wind came from. See if you know where it went. You know, all of these things, you need to meditate. We need to meditate on God's ways and the power that He has. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Can you see here that God had all of this even before the days were fashioned? He knew about you. This shows God's omnipotence. Daniel chapter 4. It is God that makes us who we are. Notice what this verse says in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. It says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, meaning that we are not all that great, but we belong to God. He's going to make us great. He does according to His will in the armor of the heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, what have you done? God's in charge. God has created each one of us the way He wants us. It's our responsibility, brethren, to take what He has given us and use it for His glory and pleasure. In doing so, we find our ultimately fulfillment. But you know, the world is not satisfied. They're not satisfied. These movie stars have all these beauty makeups, changes a whole lot of things. All of the sex changes is going on in the world. Now, people are not satisfied with how God made them. They want to do the things that they want to do, make the changes that they want to do. These people from the house of Judah had drifted so far from the ways of God that was laid down for them to follow, and they had lost all knowledge of God's ways and the knowledge that he had given their forefathers coming out of Egypt. They are all tied up in traditions and customs of heathens and all types of false religion practices. So, brethren, the process of becoming a vessel that can be used by God is a lifelong process. As we read, you know, God is not in no big hurry. He's got a time set. He'll finish it. And he'll finish it with you. God will finish his work with you. How do I know? Because the Bible said so. And for the final scripture, we want to turn to that. Philippians chapter 1. Because the potter is patient to mold each one of his created creations into the proper shape, take the time each one requires to become the object of his will. The potter not only has a perfect plan for the clay, but sees the finished product in his hand. God sees his finished products in his hand. And that's why he can say in Philippians chapter 1, God can say this truthfully. Verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1. It says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." God loves you, and he will continue to mold and shape us into the vessel that satisfies him. Now you may have to get all some more little impurities that comes by occasionally. You may have to break that clay down in certain places and roll it and move it and get all the bubbles out of it, but he's going to make it to be perfect for him. So, brethren, I hope that we will continue to let God mold, shape us into the product of his creation to be more like him.